Father, I ask now that you would bless and you would anoint these next moments of time as we share the message that you've given us. And Father, that it would reach out and touch lives and change lives, Father. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you remember a person on television by the name of Carol Burnett? Yeah, I think most of you seen Carol Burnett at one time or another on TV. And she sang a little song called Let Me Entertain You. And I went on the internet the other day to try to find that song, and I found several different versions of Let Me Entertain You, some of which we couldn't share in church. But I finally found her version. And some of the first words were, Let me entertain you. Let me make you smile. Let me do a few tricks. And then the song goes on and closes with, Let me entertain you, and we'll have a real good time. I had a question this morning. Why do we go to church? Why do we go to church? Do we go to church because we are going to worship God? Are we going to church because we want to experience His presence? Or do we go to church to be entertained? You know, the Bible tells us, if you want to turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, again, that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And it says, Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what day is he talking about there? The coming of the Lord. How many believe that day is approaching? Well, then the Bible tells us so much more we ought to assemble ourselves together. Now, I want to read this from another translation, which says, Not neglecting our own congregational meetings, as some have made a practice of doing, but rather encouraging each other, and let us do all this all the more as you see the day approaching. So we are told one of the reasons for going to church is because we are to assemble ourselves together. How many have ever heard that old saying, there's strength in numbers? Amen. There's strength in numbers. And when we gather together, we have numbers. There's more than just you standing alone to fight your battle. And every one of us go through battles, whether they be spiritual, physical, or financial. We all go through battles throughout our lifetime. And sometimes it's very difficult to fight these battles alone. But when we gather ourselves together, we have the strength of numbers that will help us as we fight our battles. It lifts us up. It brings encouragement to us as we can feel that there are people around us who support us, who believe in us, and who are reaching out to God for us as we fight these things that go on in our life. So we are to assemble ourselves together. Another reason for going to church? Well, that should be pretty simple. It's to hear the gospel, the good news. Oh, but you say, but I could hear that at home. Well, if you're sick and you're unable to get out of bed, or if you've got some type of communicable disease that you really don't need to be out among other people, then fine. Stay home and listen to it on radio or television. But the Bible still tells us we are to assemble ourselves together to go and hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ proclaimed. Now let's take just a moment here and see what Jesus had to say himself. Because if you turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, again, that's Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus himself, as he stood up to preach his first sermon, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." What is the word gospel? Good news. Good tidings. What we are bringing you when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that Jesus saves, that God cares about us. We're not serving some God who's off in some far distant place that could care little about our daily lives. The Bible tells us that he even knows how many hairs we have upon our head. And I'll tell you, for some folks, that's quite a challenge right there. He knows about every sparrow that falls. He cares about what's going on. He doesn't say, "Oh, well, there's a basic plan out there, and I'll let everything roll along on its own, and we'll see how it turns out in the end." No, he cares about you as an individual. You know, I believe the heart of God hurts when we hurt. When we cry, it touches him. It says he has the tears of the saints bottled up in heaven. He cares about us that much. Cares about us so much that he sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to die on a cross of Calvary that we could have forgiveness of our sin. That's how much he cares about us. And he cares about our daily lives. So we are to go to church because we are there to hear the good news. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. This is a command that Jesus gave to his disciples. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Again, in other translations, they use the word good news rather than gospel, because what Jesus was speaking there, what he was telling about, was good news. You know, there's a song out there, and I think we may have sang it here in this church at one time or another. The good news is the bad news is all wrong. We get a lot of bad news. I mean, you pick up the newspaper, and how much good news do you read in it? Very little. You watch the news on TV. How much good news do you get there? Very little. There's a lot of bad news out there. But when you're paying attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's telling you the good news is the bad news is all wrong, because if you are a Christian, good things are going to happen for you. You say, "Well, I'm going through a horrible spot in my life right now," but you've got better days ahead. I've got that to guarantee you. If you're serving Jesus Christ, better days are ahead. There is good news ahead. There is light at the end of the tunnel if you've got Jesus Christ in your life. The good news is the bad news is all wrong. Another reason we go to church is because Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word." The word. This gospel that he's given us in written form. We hear the word as it's ministered to us in church. We go there because it brings and it improves and it builds up our faith. Sometimes you can be struggling in your faith. Your faith ever get weak sometimes, a little wobbly sometimes. But you can go and you can hear the word, and the word begins to build that faith. It builds us up, and we can go out in better shape than we were when we came in. You know, it's a terrible thing if you were to go to church and you go out feeling worse than you did when you went in. Now, I can understand if you're not a Christian that you go to church and you go out feeling worse than when you came in, because sometimes you go out with such conviction on your heart that you feel miserable and horrible. Well, that's fine and well. Because you know that something's wrong in your life. But as Christians, we can go to church and the faith that is built in our life because of the Word of God that is given to us, we can go out encouraged and uplifted in our lives because He's building up our faith. He's building up that which is in our lives. So we go to church to hear the Word of God. You can say, well, I can stay home and I can read God's Word. It's not quite the same. It's not quite the same. Because sometimes as you begin to hear it spoken to you, and that audible voice that speaks to you as you hear that Word of God proclaimed, it begins to grab hold of you. And maybe something that's said touches your life and you say, oh, that's just what I needed. Did you ever feel miserable sometime and you went to church, you were down in the dumps about something, there was a problem that you were facing in your life, and you went to church and somebody said something, and maybe it didn't mean anything to anybody else, but you grabbed hold of it, and it began to build that faith in your life. And you took hold of that Word that God shared with you. And you went out lifted up because of the Word of God. Now, I know there are times people can't go to church for various reasons, but we need to assemble ourselves together. It's not just my word to you that you need to come to church or you need to go to church. It's God's word. Amen. That says you need to assemble yourselves together. We go to church for praise and worship. As we sing songs and we lift our hands in praise and worship to the Lord, it begins to build our faith as well. It begins to reach. You know what? The Bible tells us back in the Old Testament that when King Saul was feeling down, what did he do? He had David come in and sing for him. Play the harp. The music began to lift his spirits. You know, there are times that even when you're out in your car or something, you can put on a CD or a cassette that has a good gospel song. And the words of that song can begin to minister to you. And it can begin to bless you. I have many times as I've listened to songs going in my car, they ministered to me. We have specials in church sometimes, and the words of those songs begin to minister to us. They begin to lift us up. They begin to prepare the people's hearts for the word that is about to come as the minister begins to get up and speak, if we will let them. I know there's some people go in and they'll sit there, as Brother Art likes to talk about, with their hands folded, and there's nothing God's going to do to move me. I'm here to plant myself like a rock, and I'm not going to be moved. But if we'll let the Spirit of God minister to us, if we begin praise and worship, that will begin to grab our lives and reach out to us. Well, again, you can say, well, I can praise God at home. I can worship God at home. Yeah, you can. You should. But there's nothing like that praise and worship that we get when we do it in unison together. When we come together as an assembled group, a congregation of people, the body of Christ, joining together in praise and worship. And oh, it begins to reach out. The Bible tells us that God says He inhabits the praises of His people. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to worship Him, to give Him glory, to give Him honor. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, if you want to look it in your Bible, and many of you know it by heart, but it says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. It says a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes when we come to church, we don't necessarily feel like praising God. Amen. I mean, we've had a rough week. We've had something happening in our lives. that's drug us down. It's got us that really we feel more like we crawled in the door than walked in the door. But as we begin to offer that sacrifice of praise, and it's not easy, but we begin to praise God and begin to praise His name. And as we do that, His Spirit begins to come upon us and begins to lift us up. And instead of crawling back out the door like we came in, we walk back with our heads held high because the Spirit of God has been upon us as we have praised Him and worshiped His name. We give Him praise and we give Him glory. Praise and worship brings an anointing from God. Oh, you can feel that anointing. I remember there have been times, and one of the things that's really always amazed me, I guess, I don't understand all there is to know about some of the things that we have that are benefits and blessings to us, like radio and television. You know, they work. I know that much. I've taken classes about them, and I still don't understand exactly how they work. You know, it's amazing to me that you can sit with this little device in your home, and somebody can broadcast something sometimes thousands of miles away, and you still hear it. You know, that's just amazing to me. That signal just goes out, and it doesn't matter how many antennas are out there to grab it. They get it. Oh, it's just amazing to me. But one of the other things that was even more amazing to me as I began to learn when we were broadcasting years ago on the Caribbean Beacon and other radio stations, and our programs were taped as much, in some cases when we were on the Beacon, as much as 8 weeks in advance. But yet, God could minister in the taping. He didn't always understand what was going on there as He ministered in the taping and what was said that 8 weeks later spoke to somebody's heart. Thousands of miles away, but it reached out and met their need. How does that happen? Well, the only thing I can say is God is outside. Time and space. They have no meaning to Him. He knows what needs to be done 8 weeks ahead. He knows whose life needs to be touched 8 weeks ahead, and He can touch you to speak those words that will bless people 8, 10, 12 weeks, even years ahead sometimes. And I've listened to programs, CDs, and programs on television that people have sang under the anointing. And maybe they taped that months in advance. But that anointing was there when they sang. And you know what? As you listened to it, you could feel that anointing. It began to reach down and touch your life and speak to your spirit. And the Spirit of God began to move in you. Sometimes it brings tears to your eyes. Sometimes it would cause you to give praise as it reached out and touched your lives. And that's what praise and worship does. It touches our lives because it brings an anointing from God. Years ago when I was starting out in ministry, and I used to have a singing group that went with me to many of my services, and as they would sing and minister to the Lord and gospel music, it would begin to touch the lives of people. And I'll tell you, it got them ready then for the Word. It got them ready for the Word. It was a lot easier to preach when people were ready for the Word. And that's what praise and worship will do. You know, I looked up some of the Greek words for praise and worship last night, and actually, one of them, it basically tells you the word translated there as worship means to get down and prostrate yourself before the Lord. And that's how they did it in the Old Testament times. They prostrated themselves before God. What does that simply mean? They were face down on the floor as they were worshiping God, humbled in His presence, you know. We're worshiping the Lord. That's why we go to church, is to worship God. It's not just to have a good time. You know, I enjoy having a good time at church. I enjoy the fellowship of God's people. But we don't come here just to have party. We get a good time because we come to worship God, and God blesses us, and it makes us feel good. as we've had a good time in the presence and the worship of the Lord? Or do we go to church to be entertained? There's an article in the current issue of Preaching Magazine by Robert Leslie Holmes, and the caption to the article was, "If entertaining is worship, then Six Flags and Disney worship better than we do every single Sunday. They can entertain better than anybody. You go to Six Flags or you go to one of the Disney theme parks, and you go there to have a good time, and you go there to have fun. And for some folks, it's different things that attract them to it. My wife would go there to shop, because she likes the shops. She can't ride the rides, but she likes the shops. I don't particularly care about the shops, but I like the rides, you know. And, you know, the excitement that you get from some of them, you know, and that sometimes it almost makes your heart feels like it's coming out through your mouth, you know, as you're dropping down at a rapid speed, and then all of a sudden that drop comes to an end or whatever, you know. And you go there for entertainment. And if you went there and you were bored, you wouldn't go back again, you know. I spent all my money for this, you know. Well, entertainment. Do we go to church just to be entertained? I looked up because I couldn't remember where I had seen this newspaper article. I tried finding it on the internet or something like it, so I went to Yahoo Answers, and there was one question there. It says, does anyone know the theme song to, and it gives a particular person's gospel show? And I remember having driven down the highways here in either Tennessee or Alabama and seen signs and advertising for the gospel show. Now, to me, that provoked the thoughts of entertainment. It's a show. It's something that we've staged, and we know going in exactly how everything's going. And I realize that when gospel musicians go in and gospel singers go, they have a format that they're going to follow. We in church have a format that we're going to follow typically. The thing is, when we just have a format and that's all we ever follow, that's when it becomes entertainment. Mm-hmm. We go in knowing what we're planning to do in the service, but you've also got to leave it open that God may move and He may change things entirely, and you have to throw your whole format out and just follow the leading of the Spirit. There are some groups that they believe when they go to church that they go there and they sit until the Spirit of God moves. And somebody gets up and speaks, and that's their word for the day, and then they go home. But let's face it, a lot of people wouldn't go to church if that's the way we all did it. So we do go there knowing that we will have some songs, we will have prayer, and we will have a message. But we also need to go there knowing that we are open to the moving of God, and if when the first song starts, the Spirit of God begins to move, we can throw our program out the window and follow the leading of God. And sometimes it may be that the sermon comes first and the songs come later. Who knows? Or they may never come at all, and sometimes the sermon may never come. The night I got saved, they started the songs, but the sermon never came because the Spirit of God began to move. And that's what we have to be open to, is the moving of God. I used to watch a well-known gospel music quartet on TV, and they're one of the big names. But when I watch them, I have to be honest with you folks, all I see is entertainment. I see choreography. I see orchestrated moves. And these guys are good. But if I just want to watch choreography and orchestrated moves, I know better folks than they are, you know. If I just want to watch that, I don't walk away with it from a feeling that the Spirit of the presence of God was there. When I come to church, when I listen to gospel music, I want God to move through that, that He can reach down and touch my life. I'm not there just to be entertained. I mentioned that years ago I used to watch on television a very popular program, still on today. And you sat there, your eyes glued to the set, because as they sang, you could see that God was ministering to them, and you in turn were being ministered to as the Spirit of God moved. And yet now I watch some of the same programs that have been put out more recently, and I'll have to tell you, folks, I'm entertained, but I don't feel the moving of God. I don't watch it anymore, quite honestly. I want to feel the moving of God. And I don't want to act and sound like I'm just picking on gospel music singers or preachers today. One particular evangelist that I met said this, and he at that time seemed to be a rising star, because we have to make stars out of our ministers today. And he seemed to be on the rise. And he said, "You've got to constantly perform or you lose your crowd. They're expecting you to perform better next time than you did this time." And that was the word, perform. Let's face it, God doesn't work on our schedule. God may move one time, and He may not move necessarily the same way or the way we're thinking about the next time. He may be ministering to somebody, but might not necessarily be the performance that we were expecting. In other words, if you go to a healing service and people get healed, you're going back to that same guy next time expecting people to be healed, whether God's there to heal people or not. So there's that need or pressure to perform. And who puts it on them? The people do. The people do. "Oh, well, I went to this guy's service, man, and people got healed, and there was a move of God and all of this, and I'm going to go back. I went to his service again. Wasn't like it was last time, man. It was not up to the standards of last time. I don't think I'm going to go back anymore." That's the way we are. We need to go because we are expecting to receive something from God and not from man. And we put the pressure on some of these preachers because we're expecting them to do it themselves. As people say sometimes, "Well, if I could go and have so-and-so pray for me, then I'd be healed." Not necessarily. You might go and they might pray for you and nothing may happen. But you might go to little Jack or Jill nobody in your own church and have them pray for you, and God might reach down and answer that need that's in your life right then. But we brought some of what's going on in the church world today as far as I go to be entertained, because we put the pressure on the people. We go there for entertainment. We go there because they can set off the cannons, they can have the smoke and the flashing lights and all of this other thing that the world has in their entertainment. We used to be separated from the world. The Bible tells us, "Come ye out from among them and be a separate people." Well, we don't have to worry about going out into the world anymore because we brought it into the church in a lot of cases. It's fine to have certain things in church. But when we become totally dependent upon the entertainment aspect of it and not on the moving of God, when we run into trouble. When I bring folks into this church to sing, I want them to sing, and I want you to be blessed. I want you to feel an anointing. I want you to feel a move of God. If they're just going to come here and entertain, then we don't need to have them. Because you can get that from a CD. We want to have a move of God. We've gotten into this situation so many times because we have the I want it now mentality. You know, we could sometimes call it the gospel according to McDonald's. I don't know who started the fast food business, but we always kind of associate it somewhat with McDonald's, you know. And they started all of this stuff, and we got to the point now, we expect it now, and if it's not, you know, just so fast, why, I mean, we get all upset. How dare they take 2 minutes to get my order? And I know I'm that way sometimes. I go in, I want them to get to me right now, you know. That's the thing that all of us have developed a thing. And we expect God to move the same way. Okay, God, I'm here. Impress me. Is that how we come to church sometimes? I'm here, God. Now impress me. Well, I got news for you. If God wants to impress you, you better hold on to your seat. Because he may give you some impression you may not be too happy with sometimes. God, I'm here. Please bless me. That's what I'm here for, Lord, is to be blessed. And you get impressed that way too. Bless me, Lord. That's why we come to church, to worship God, to hear the word, to lift each other up, and to be blessed. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. And Father, now as we ask, as we close this service today, Father, for your blessing and your anointing upon each one that is here today. And Father, those that will be listening to this message by other means, I pray, Father, that through this message people will be blessed, that spirits will be lifted. And Father, I pray if there be anyone that's listening to this message today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that Father, the Holy Spirit would pour conviction upon them today, and that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. We've asked it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.